gospel and his short epistles. After all, John, isn't he the disciple whom Jesus loved? Some would say that that's like being best friends with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to open up the little book of 1 John as we begin our next part of the time of the Word. If you're trying to find 1 John, it's in the back of your Bible, just a couple pages back before the book of Revelation, which is also written by John. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. So the first point of this message on the greatest gift is love from God. Love from God. You know, John, he didn't just know the love of Christ as a recipient of love. John also saw this love of Jesus as Jesus taught, as Jesus healed during his years of his earthly ministry. John saw the love of Jesus as he stood at the foot of the cross, comforting Mary while her son bled and died. John saw the love of Christ when he outran Peter to the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. And John saw the love of Christ as he spent time with Jesus face to face before he saw him ascended weeks later. John saw the love of God in the church as it grew and persevered against the hardship, against the persecution, and against the false teaching that started coming in. And when John wrote this letter, he was the last apostle who was still alive, and he wanted to make sure that his knowledge and his experience were passed on to the next generation. Look at verse 7 in chapter 4 of 1 John. He says, "Beloved, beloved, those who are loved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." I'm going to look at one huge statement that John makes in the next verse, 1 John 4:8. "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. He repeats it again in verse 16, right? "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." Just to make sure, did you get that? God is love. In many other places, we hear about the love of God. But here, from the disciple that Jesus loved, we see that God is love. In our fast-paced, soundbite way of thinking, we can jump right over this profound truth that God is love. No, you haven't heard that enough yet today. When we consider love as the greatest gift, how much more amazing is it that God is love? It's not just an attribute of God. It's not just a characteristic of God. Love is an essential core component of his being. God is love. You simply cannot separate God from love any more than you can separate God from holiness. Right? We see in Revelation that God is holy, holy, holy. We know that he always has been, since before he created anything. And he always will be. Long after he's rolled up this creation like dirty laundry, God remains the same. Think about this. God is love. He always has been. He always will be. He's unchanging since before time began. God did not become love when he created man. God did not create man in order to love. God was complete in love before the world began. Let's just take man completely out of the equation, because so much it's all about me. It's all about us. Take man completely out of the equation. God is absolutely complete in his triune love, the love of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. This is perfect love because God is love. God didn't need to create us to experience love or fellowship. God is love, and God's love was perfect, complete, and holy and pure before we ever existed. When Jesus was praying at Gethsemane, before he was captured, before he was taken to the cross, he says to God the Father, God, Father, you loved me, Jesus said, before the foundation of the world. God did not just start loving Jesus when he spoke from heaven at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God did not just start loving Jesus when the disciples heard him speak from that bright cloud, when Jesus was transfigured and shone in glory at the top of the mountain. Remember, God said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased. Listen to him. It's an eternal love from God the Father to God the Son and God the Spirit. It's a perfect love that's existed forever and will always exist. And it's a reciprocal love. It goes both ways. Jesus tells the disciples in John 14:31, he says, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Jesus loves the Father as well. Again, God did not need to create us to experience love or fellowship. God is love, and God's triune love was perfect, it was complete, it was holy, and it was pure before we existed. This is how we know that love that comes from God, that love is perfect, that love is complete, that love is holy, and that love is pure because God is love. God's love, it's not like our love. God's love, it's not based upon emotions or fleeting feelings. God's love isn't dependent upon us. God's love is not based upon what we do. God's love is unconditional. And God's love is not temporary. God's love is eternal. And we look at the greatest gift being love, it's so important for us to realize that the source of love itself, the source of all the love we'd ever experienced, the source of love itself is God. Love is from God because God is love. Did you get that point? God is love. So love from God is pure and perfect. But our second point, the greatest gift of love, is that it's also love to man. It's love to man. It's not just God within the Trinity in the heavenlies. It's love to man. Here's an amazing thought. As we understand what that triune love is like, we hear that Jesus wants us to have the same kind of love that he himself has with the Father. In John 17, again, that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to his Father. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you've loved me. That God has loved us even as he's loved Jesus. God loves you even as he loves Jesus. And again, from John 17, 24, Jesus' prayer that God, Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Because of his great love for you, God had a plan to save you from your sin before he even made you. The same love he has for Jesus. It was before the foundation of the world. Before you were born, God loved you. Before you came into existence, God loved you. Before you let out your first little scream, God loved you. Before you sinned the first time, God loved you. And he still does. Once we understand this perfect eternal love of God, we can see how he extends his love to his creation. You know, it stretches our mind. Well, it stretches my mind to understand this amazing love from God's perspective. But it's a kind of spiritual calisthenics that's a healthy stretching, isn't it? For us to go ahead and challenge ourselves to not think of things in the ways of the world, but think of things according to the ways of the Spirit. You know, Paul prays in Ephesians 3, that being rooted and grounded, yes, in love, being rooted and grounded in their love, that we would have the strength, the spiritual strength, to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. Now think on that for just a minute. Now, this is an amazingly deep concept. Again, we can just skip over it and think of little Valentine's cards and move on to St. Patrick's Day. But think of this. We know this love of Christ that comes from God, and that it surpasses our knowledge. There's a challenge here that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that even as love is an integral part of God, may it become more and more integral part of us each and every day. Again, to his disciples in John 15, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The same kind of love that God has for Jesus, Jesus has for us. And he tells us to abide in my love. Jesus says, abide in my love. Abide means live with in my love, or dwell within my love. Yes, I know that you're living in the world, but are you abiding in my love? I know the circumstances all around you, but are you abiding and dwelling in my love? Do you seek comfort from the world, or do you seek comfort from God by abiding in my love? Brothers and sisters, we don't want to love as the world loves. We want to love as Jesus loves. Look again at 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. That was our first point. Love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And now we get to the Christmassy part. Verse 9. That in this the love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is from God to man, and it was made manifest when Jesus took on flesh as the baby in the manger. Being made manifest means that it's also translated as love was revealed, or love was shown to the world. God showed his love by sending his Son. You know, the NIV translation it takes these same verses and says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might live through Christ. And in verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is what that big word propitiation means from the first translation. It's an atoning sacrifice. It's paying the price for sin in our place. This innocent baby would grow into an innocent boy and then into an innocent man who would never sin, even when he was tempted by the devil himself. This is love to man. That God sent his Son as a perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. By paying the price of our sins through his sacrifice, Jesus accomplished two things. The first is he appeased the wrath of God for our sins. That's why the scripture tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He took on your condemnation when you trusted in him for your salvation. We're declared innocent before God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, there's a question in here of Jesus being willing to die for us. Does a father love disobedient children? Does that love extend to us when we're disobedient? Does the love of Christ extend to us even when we're disobeying us? Well, does a father love disobedient children? Yes, of course, absolutely. And he loves them enough to die for them that crucified Christ. Remember what Peter said in that day of Pentecost? He said, you have crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus was willing to die for those who crucified him. Romans 5:8 says that God showed his love for us, not that we were perfect and doing everything we were supposed to do, but God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So that's the appeasing the wrath of God for our sins. But what good is it to have this get out of jail free card if you're declared innocent, right? That's the wrath is appeased. We're declared innocent. What good is a get out of jail free card if you're declared innocent and you're still camped out outside the gates of the prison? What good is that? Jesus did not just appease the wrath of God the Father. Jesus reconciled us back to God through himself. Flip back a chapter to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father's given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." It did not know him. God, Jesus doesn't just appease the wrath of God through his death on the cross. Jesus also reconciles us back into a loving relationship with God. In John 8, Jesus says that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. And we don't just park ourselves outside the prison gates of being having the wrath of God appeased for our sins. We actually have a restored relationship, and we abide in the Father's house. As a child of God, you can be assured that you will always have a home in heaven with Christ. You know, I shared this last night, but it's certainly worth repeating from John chapter 3. Again, that first verse we know, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." But verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Think about that. Love, it's from God. We have this picture of this perfect love that's from God. And then that love is extended through man when Jesus came as a babe in the manger to pay the price on the cross and be resurrected. Love is made known through Christ when he came as a baby into the dark world that the light would shine out into darkness. Again, from John 8, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As we remembered last night, we're the ones who are called to be the torchbearers of that light to this generation. How we live out our lives as his children, how we live out our lives with our understanding of his love that's been extended to us, how we live out that life displays our love back to God. Love comes from God, it comes to man, but then it goes back to God as we live out our lives. Look at verse 23 in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23 in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." You know, this talks about our continual walk in holiness as a child of God, loving people as God loves them. Remember the greatest commandment that Jesus shared in Matthew. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Think about that. If we know that the first commandment is loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will naturally exhibit that same love that Christ has for his children to others. If we are following the first commandment of loving God with everything we have, we will naturally have a love for those that are around us that don't know him. We will naturally have a love for those that are around us who are within the body of Christ, especially within the body of Christ, that we will be recognized as followers of Jesus in this world. Our love for others is a natural outflow of our love to God. Look at flip over to verse number chapter 4 in 1 John. 1 John 4:19. Again, we can't think that we're going to be able to just love the world because it's the right thing to do. If we don't have a relationship with God, an ongoing, abiding relationship with God, how are we going to be able to love the world like God loves us, like Jesus loves us? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Then the corollary to that in verse 20, if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he's seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know, as we have the opportunity, especially with families and neighbors and everyone else at this Christmas season, to gather around together and to fellowship and to be with each other, sometimes there are family members we may not be getting along with so well. But we still need to remember that God calls us to love them. Love them consistently and persistently, just like he loved us. Not conditionally based upon what they're doing. We're still called to love them because we recognize the love that he has for us. We don't just love people the way the world does, right? How does the world love people? They love people by playing favorites. Oh, let me spend some time with this person because I'll get something out of that. Or they love people conditionally, right? I'm going to love you as long as you're doing what I want you to do, but as soon as you stop, I'm going to stop loving you. Scripture tells us that even the pagans love those who are like themselves. But we're called to love people like Jesus did. He loved us while we were still sinners. We're called to have our love to God expressed in our love to man by loving the unlovely. Those are uncomfortable conversations for those that don't know Christ. To be bold in your love as you share it with others and not thinking about what's in it for me. Again, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Jesus tells his disciples, by this all people will know you're my disciples. Don't tell people you go to church on Sunday. Don't tell people that you reread the Bible. But show them, he says, by this people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. Again, flip back to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 14. This talks about our assurance of our relationship with him. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. You know, as we close out this year in our calendar, we look at going into the next year in our calendar, should God tarry, I would pray that we would be committed to loving each other more deeply. And how are we going to love each other more deeply? Well, probably because we're going to step on each other's toes and do things that need a lot more love and forgiveness. But as God builds the church together and it grows up and builds up in love, and we have some of that kind of stretching that builds the muscles, they get torn a little bit, but then they get built up stronger. I'm not going to give you much of an illustration on bodybuilding. Trust me. Okay, you didn't need to laugh at that one. But the point is that the body's built up together in love as we end up finding opportunities to love one another. And I pray that as we come to this next year, we'd see opportunities to come to be ministering to each other, to be loving each other, and to be living out our faith, our love of God as we're loving each other. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. And I want to just read some of those encouraging verses to you as we look at closing out. John chapter 15. I want you to leave here understanding deeper, more vividly, about this greatest gift of love, that God himself is love. And that's the love that comes from God. That's the love that comes to man. But that our love to God is going to be lived out in our lives of holiness as an example. And just a quick side note. Guys, girls, if you're trying to find someone to love in your life, find someone who loves God before you worry about whether or not they love you. Find someone who loves God before you worry about whether or not they love you, and then you'll see that kind of love in the relationship. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse number 9. Let's just read these verses up through 17. Jesus tells his disciples in his farewell address to them, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." This is a call towards our own personal holiness. What you do in your private time matters in our public worship time together. What you do in your own walk with God matters in our walk together as a church with God. Just like Jesus followed his Father's commandments and was always walking according to his Father's will, we're called to do the same things, to keep in his commandments and abide in his love. He goes on to say, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment." Commandment. This is a commandment, not an option. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How did Christ love us? Enough to lay down his life. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends." Jesus calls you a friend. "For all that I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." I love how Paul references this in Philippians 2. He says, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind." I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. I want to just remind you that how you live out your life and your personal holiness is a reflection of how you show your love back to God. How you live out your love relationship with other people in the body and in the world is showing how you have that love relationship with God. And I pray that as we're entering into this new year, that we would be praying and seeking that our love for God and our love for one another would grow in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, and whatever testing may come along to us, that we'd recognize his great love being worked out in his people through this world. Again, as Jesus reminds us, "By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray towards that end. Lord Jesus, we thank you that even as we go through this time of Christmas celebration and remembering your coming, we're remembering your coming back again, that you're coming back to gather us to yourself. And I pray that during our time here, we would be living out lives that are obedient to your commandments of loving you. And out of that love for you, that we'd be loving others. And Father, that the world would know, not because of our programs or opportunities or what we do, but because of the love we have for one another, that they would know who you are, that they would know your son, Jesus. I pray that on that day when you come back again, Jesus, that you would be having many more captives to take with you into your kingdom because they've been able to see your love represented in this area through this church. We thank you. We thank you that you didn't just leave us here to figure things out on our own, but you invite us to abide with you, to dwell with you, because you're dwelling with us. We thank you for that, and we thank you for your amazing love, Jesus. Amen.